The story immediately before this one is about Herod's birthday party. Okay? You couldn't have two more different stories set side by side. Now, Herod knew how to throw a party, especially for himself. Herod was of a mind that it was everybody for themselves and everybody ought to send stuff his way. You know? He felt very much entitled to as much as he could get and maybe a little bit more. During the course of the birthday party, the daughter of Herodias does a dance. And Herod is very much impressed by this dance and tells her so. Now, we do not know how much wine Herod had before he gave this particular judgment of this particular dance. But he says something that he will later live to regret. He says, "Ask me for anything and I'll give it to you." He was thinking money, maybe. He was thinking any kind of material thing. He had lots of it. She said, "Bring me the head of John the Baptist on a platter." Matthew said he was sad about that. Now, he had arrested John. He had already thrown him into prison. But apparently he didn't have plans to execute him, at least not then. But he had promised. And even though Herod was notorious for breaking other promises, he kept this one. Before you know it, the head of John the Baptist was brought in on the platter. You know, that's when the party really begins. The disciples came, took the body, and buried it. We have no idea what happened to the head. And then they went and they told Jesus. That is when Jesus decides to go to a deserted place. He is in deep grief for his friend, for his kinsman, some would say his teacher. He's wanting to get away from the crowds that have called on him relentlessly, who have followed him everywhere, wanting to hear what he has to say, wanting him to teach and preach, wanting him to heal them. He just needed a little time, a little rest, a little time to grieve and pray. And so he went away to a deserted place. But the crowds knew where he was going, followed him there. And before he could have any time to himself, there they were. With all the needs that they had had all along. And Matthew says he had compassion on them. Even though he would have preferred to take that time for himself, he has compassion on them, so he preaches and he teaches. And he heals. And they get what they need. Is there anything more different than Herod, who is trying to take everything to himself? Herod the hedonist, who wants more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And Jesus, who when he wants just a little quiet time, can't even get that because he feels compassion for those in need. At the end of the day, you heard the story as I told it to the kids. His disciples come, and they're not like Herod. I mean, they're not people who think that they need to have everything. But by their comment, we do understand that they figured that everybody was on their own. They said, "Look, it's time for them to eat. They're going to be hungry. This huge crowd, send them away. They need to go back to their homes or someplace else and get something to eat. We've got ours, they can find theirs." But apparently Jesus doesn't work on that theory. I'm assuming that this is still coming out of his compassion for the crowd. He says, "You give them something." All they had is what they had brought for their supper. And it wasn't much considering you're feeding 12 if Jesus eats 13 on 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. It was theirs. It was all they had. But Jesus takes it. He offers a prayer blessing. He breaks the bread and he sends it out. And there's plenty for everyone and more left over. You know, I'm not sure why feeding those in need is not a sacrament. Because you see, our definition of a sacrament is that it's something Jesus commanded us to do, and it's something he himself did. Well, in this story, Jesus commands his followers to give them something, to feed those in need, and then after blessing and breaking the bread, he does it himself. I'm not sure why it's not a sacrament. We here at West End try to follow that. We try to respond to that call of Jesus, you give them something. Each year, including our apportionments, our budgeted giving, special offerings, this church gives over $500,000 to help others. And that doesn't even count what Sunday school classes do, what individuals do. Now, that's not bragging. That's just something that most of you don't know. And you need to know it. Now, we're probably, we Methodists, the only people in the world who still use the word apportionment. So most of us don't know what it means. But I like it. I'm glad we've kept it. Because you, when you break it down, you can say it is a portion meant for others. Now, what do apportionments go for? Well, they go for a lot of things. Apportionments go to support the only university in Zimbabwe that stayed open, held classes, graduated people through all the years of the recent trouble. Never closed a day. You were there. You were part of that. Africa University. That money supports those who come to Pulaski, Tennessee, to Martin Methodist College, many of whom are the first ones in their family to attend college and find there an education that gets them started in life to serve the whole community. You're there. Do you know that? It sends missionaries all over the world. Now, some of those are medical missionaries, some of those are teaching missionaries, some of those are preaching missionaries. Some of those missionaries are helping people find clean water, which is a huge problem. We don't think of it as a problem because we never have to go without water. In much of the world, it is a huge problem. Helping folks to cultivate nutritious foods so that they can have enough to eat. You're there. Did you know that? That's a part of what you're doing. Now, I know some of you are thinking, yeah, but doesn't part of that go for your pension and insurance? Yes, it does. That's so I won't move in with you when I retire. Aren't you glad? In fact, it pays for all of your clergy on staff, your elders and deacons. But in addition, it pays for dozens of other pastors who would not be able to serve, who would not have insurance or pension in little churches, in urban areas and in rural areas where they would not have a full-time pastor if it weren't for you. You are in each and every one of those churches. It pays for a lot of agencies as well, and we are fortunate because we're literally surrounded by our national agencies. We really don't take advantage of that enough. But to say the word agency really doesn't tell the story. Because you see, a part of what that money goes for is to assure that there will be campus ministers on campuses all around the world, not just in this country, all around the world, when students come back to school each fall. There will be a United Methodist presence to welcome everyone, to welcome all. They help assure that there will be chaplains in the military, so wherever people are serving around the world, there will be a presence of this church, of you, in prisons, in hospitals. They assure that there are scholarships available for people to go to school, undergraduate, or to continue their education, to do ministerial studies. You are there. They help assure that churches along our southwestern border can serve refugee children when they come their way and care for them when they have no one else to care for them and when many others reject them. You are there. We are welcoming those children. You may not know this, but United Methodist Communications has been in the forefront of using social media across Africa to get out accurate information about the Ebola virus. Do you know that? We have taken the lead in that, one of these agencies, and you're there. You're assisting in ways you never imagined. Now, could we do better? Oh, sure. Of course we could. It's not that we should rest on our laurels, but I think it is to acknowledge the fact that we are trying in this congregation to respond to Jesus' command, you give them something. You give them something. You go up into eastern Kentucky, you will find that there's education going on that wouldn't be going on in some of those areas, there's medical care going on in some of those areas. You're there. You are there. So that's why sometimes I remind folks to keep up with their pledges. Not just because we're to be accountable to each other. If we say we're going to do something, we do it. But because all of this work, our responding to Jesus' call, you give them something, depends upon all of our efforts together. During the summer, those pledges go down, and this summer they've gone down a little more than in the past. That's not my problem. That's all of our problem. We don't want it to be a problem for those people who depend upon these ministries around the world. So, we offer what we can, what we have. We offer something to others, and believe me, when it's all said and done, we are the ones who receive the great blessings. There are people who visit this congregation from literally around the world to tell us about what's happening in the lives of people where they live. We receive the blessing of knowing that some of the things that we take for granted, other people can at least have. A basic standard of living. We are a part of that and we are present because all of us together can do more than any one of us alone. And so we work in faith that year by year we can offer to others what Jesus told us to. Maybe it's 5 loaves and 2 fish. Maybe it's a portion of what we give. Week in and week out, and probably don't even think that much about where it goes or what it's used for. Maybe it's our way of being around the world wherever crowds gather, wanting to hear a word of life, a word of good news when they haven't heard any good news for a long, long time. We are there. Someone is there on our behalf. They're taking what they have, they're breaking it, and they're sharing it, and they're blessing it. And we believe that whenever we do that, that we are responding to what Jesus told us to do, which is, after all, the only reason we're here this morning, isn't it? Thanks be to God for all those who come together to help us do what Jesus has asked us to do. Amen.